You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. We pray this message encourages you today. Thanks for listening.
What we're doing in this series is we are looking at Jesus' I am statements that are recorded in the Gospel of John. We're hearing from Jesus in his own words. And I want to encourage you today. You can learn a lot about Jesus from other sources. You can read a lot about Jesus. He was the most famous person to ever walk the face of the earth. But the best place to start is just to read Jesus' own words, to hear from him in his own words. And so today, we're going to look at a statement that Jesus made, a famous statement in John chapter 14, verse 6, when Jesus said this, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Now, we're going to come back to that statement in just a moment. But first, let me ask you a question that's going to help introduce you to the context in which Jesus spoke this phrase. Have you ever been homesick before? Anybody ever been homesick, like just in a season where you felt yourself longing for home? You just wanted to be home. So back in 2018, I went to the Holy Land on a Holy Land tour with my dad and with my pastor, Pastor Jeff, and several people from his church in Pittsburgh. And we had a phenomenal time. You know, we learned so much and we saw all the major sites and we walked in the footsteps of Jesus. But toward the end of the trip, there was one damper on the trip. Toward the end, a bunch of us started going down with a stomach bug. Either the food we ate or something we picked up bothered us. And a lot of us were sick. And I had a 12-hour flight to catch from Tel Aviv to JFK. And let me just say, that was the worst flight of my life. The longest 12 hours of my life. I'm not somebody who gets sick a lot on flights. I've never thrown up on a flight before. But I'll spare you the details and just tell you, I lost it three times on that flight. At one point in time, I found myself locked up in the little bathroom on the plane, just crying out to Jesus, like, "Jesus, either heal me or take me home right now," because I was hurting so bad. I was so sick. I just wanted to be home, you know? Like, you just want to be homesick in your own bed, at least. So I got back to New York. It was probably afternoon turning into evening, rush hour. It started snowing a little bit. And my good buddy Victor was there to pick me up. Victor's like a brother to me. He was one of our very first church members. He helped us start the church, one of our first team members. And Vic and I start making our way back to my house, and the snow starts coming down. And some of you will remember this. There was a snowstorm that hit New York City in 2018 during rush hour traffic, and people got stuck for hours. Some of you were stuck in that traffic. You know what I'm talking about, right? It took 7 hours for me to get to my house in Hawthorne, and I'm sick as a dog. I mean, I'm just like, you know, just dying. And we're on these back streets in the Bronx trying to find a way to get there, just hitting dead ends at every turn. At one point in time, I had to go pee-pee on the street in the Bronx. Don't eat the yellow snow, as they say. Watch out. I mean, it was bad. It was so bad. And I'm like, you know, I was so sick. I was like, "Victor, I think I might just die right here in your Mercedes SUV, but at least I'm going to die comfortably, you know?" So miserable. He kept saying, "No, brother, we're going to get you home. We're going to get you home." And I have to give him credit. He kept finding every back road he could to finally the traffic let up after like 7 hours. I'm not kidding. 12-hour flight from Tel Aviv, 7 hours stuck in traffic, just dying to be home. When I got in the door, I crawled up the steps and like kissed the floor and just laid there and just wept for a few minutes. I was so happy just to be home. But can you remember a place where you felt at home? Maybe when you think about that, you think of your childhood home growing up. Maybe you think about your hometown. When you go back to your hometown and you visit, you feel at home. Some of you, maybe home didn't feel like a safe place for you. So when you think about home, you think about a person or a group of people or a time in your life where you just felt loved and accepted and safe and you felt like you could be yourself. And you know, in a world where we so often feel like we have to strive and we feel the pressure to perform and to prove ourselves, I think most people are striving, maybe without even realizing it, to get back to that place that felt like home, to maybe even find it for the very first time. Now, with that thought in mind, let's look at our text from John chapter 14. Let me just set this up for you. Jesus is sharing the Last Supper with his disciples. And he's preparing them because he's about to go to the cross. He's about to be arrested and tried. He's going to be crucified. And we know that very soon he's going to return to the Father. And so everything is about to change for the disciples. And he's trying to prepare them. And he's trying to comfort their hearts. And here's what he says in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 7. He says to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Verse 5, Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." So Jesus tells his disciples that he's leaving soon, but the good news is he's going to prepare a place for them in his Father's house. And he's like, here's the good news. My Father's house has many rooms. There's a place for you. There's plenty of room for you, and I'm going to show you the way back home. Come on, how many of you know if God is your Father, then your Father's got a really big house? God's got a really big house. You know, back in the day, there used to be this show on MTV called MTV Cribs. Anybody ever saw that show? You know, they would take you on a tour. You would see like all these celebrities' houses. Like you might see Mariah Carey's penthouse in Manhattan, and it was amazing. You know, you would go to somebody's house in Hollywood with this ginormous pool and these huge flat screen TVs, and it was pretty cool. But how many of you know that God's crib is on a whole nother level? And he's got plenty of rooms. And I'm excited about that Jesus said there's room for all of us, because I want my own room. Because I'm tired of sharing space with my wife and kids. I'm just saying. Tired of cleaning hair off the sink, picking up dirty socks off the floor. Tired of my kids taking my stuff and not putting it back. Leave my body spray alone. It's mine. When I get to heaven, I'm like, Jesus, I want my own room. Come on. I can't wait to see my room. My kids can come visit, but you got to go back. Jesus is going to give you your own room. You can't stay. It's going to be awesome. I got to be careful. Amy might be listening. She's like, I'll give you your own room. You're going to be exiled. Now, as we read this text, it's really easy for us to miss the Jewishness of this situation, because what scholars tell us is that Jesus is describing is what would happen during a Jewish marriage. You see, in Jesus' time in Middle Eastern culture, after a man was betrothed to a woman, he would build an addition on his father's house where they would go and live, where he and his new bride would go and live. And so we have a picture here of the ruins of a traditional house in Palestine. And, you know, that image kind of gives me the idea of a house that's been added onto with several rooms. So if you lived in Jesus's day, you better like your in-laws, because you were going to be living with them like one big happy family. Now, if my mother-in-law is watching, she knows that anytime she wants to move in with us, I will send the moving truck to go get her. I don't know how you get along with your in-laws, but my mother-in-law, she cooks, she cleans, she takes care of the kids. She solves about 10,000 problems when she comes. So anytime she wants to come, she has a standing invitation. In fact, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be cleaning her mansion in heaven. I'm going to be her butler one day, and the tables are going to be turned in heaven. And so in Jesus' culture, the groom would go away, and he would build an addition to the father's house. You didn't leave and go start your own life. No, people were very communal. In fact, some scholars say that to this day, it's still like this in certain communities in the Middle East. You would build an addition onto, the groom would build an addition onto the father's house, and he would come back, and he would get his bride, and there would be the wedding ceremony. There would be a big celebration, but it was also a homecoming celebration, because the groom was welcoming his bride home, and they were going to begin their new life together. And this is the picture that Jesus is giving to his disciples. He's saying to them, I'm leaving soon, but I'm going to prepare a place for you. And we're going to be one big happy family. We're going to live together forever in my Father's house. I'm going to show you the way home. I'm going to show you the way home. Now, with that thought in mind, let's go back to our story. So Jesus says, John chapter 14, verses 4 through 5. He said, "You know the way to the place where I am going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Now, you got to love Thomas. This is the disciple Thomas who's known as Doubting Thomas. And I think Thomas gets a bad rap, because I think Thomas is just keeping it real. You know, he's basically saying, "No, Jesus, we don't know. You're always speaking in riddles and parables. Like, we don't know what you're talking about, Jesus." Basically, here's what Thomas is asking. Like, "Jesus, we bet our lives on you. We've dropped everything the past few years to follow you. And you're telling us you're leaving and you're going away. Like, where are you going? Show us the way to follow you. Show us the way back home." And Jesus answers Thomas's question with the statement that we're going to examine today. John 14:6, Jesus answered Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And I want you to notice that Jesus doesn't answer Thomas and give him a philosophy. He doesn't say, Thomas, here's a set of doctrines that I want you to go memorize. He doesn't say, here's a theological handbook that I want you to read through. And when you've read through that, you'll know the way back to the Father. No, no, no. The essence of Christianity is a person. It's Jesus Christ. And that's why you often hear Christians talk about having a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Because at the center of Christianity is a person, the person of Jesus Christ. And this is so important because you and me, what we're tempted to do is to add Jesus to all of the other things that we think we need to be happy. If we're really honest, we want Jesus to help us achieve our goals. We want him to be a glorified life coach. Come on, Jesus is going to come into my life like somebody who gives a TED talk on YouTube, and he's going to show me how to be happy, healthy, wise, how to lose weight, how to be satisfied, how to have dating relationships that are really fulfilling. He's going to do all these things we want him to do to help us reach our goals. And Jesus says, no, 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 no. He says, I am the goal. I am the destination. I am the purpose. Jesus invites you and me to reorient our lives around him. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Now let's break down Jesus' statement into three parts. First of all, Jesus said, I am the way. Come on, everybody say the way. He said, I am the way. Thomas says to Jesus, Jesus, we don't know the way to the Father's house. And Jesus says, Thomas, I am the way. Just keep your eyes on me. Follow me. Do what I've taught you to do. Live how I've taught you to live. I am the way home. You see, Jesus is the map. He is the guide. He is the means of transportation. He is the way. Let me give you this image, okay? What we have to recognize is there's a distance between us and God. It's like a chasm. It's like a canyon that separates us from God the Father. And what are we separated from God the Father by? We're separated from him by our sin. Holy and righteous God, we are separated by sin and death. It puts a distance between our Father and us and our spiritual home with him. And it's not popular to talk about sin today. That's not popular in our culture. But if we take this word out of our vocabulary, how else do we explain the brokenness of our condition and the brokenness of this world? I think sin is a really powerful word because there's no other word in the English language that quite captures the condition that humanity is in. Sin is the reason for the distance between us and God, this chasm that separates us and God. And Jesus says, I am the way. When he says that, he's saying, I am the bridge that bridges the chasm that separates you from God. I am the bridge across the chasm. When you follow me, you find your way back to the Father. And Jesus wouldn't just say it, he would prove it. Not long after this, he would go to the cross and he would literally give his life. He would give his life to bridge that divide so that you and I can have personal, intimate relationship with God the Father. Jesus says, I am the way. If you want to get to your ultimate destination, the home that you're ultimately longing for, follow me. Last Sunday, many of you remember Pastor Darren was here, my friend, pastor friend from Ireland. He was here. And after our services, we went out to lunch and I took him to the city. You know, he came all the way across the Atlantic Ocean, wanted to show him a good time. We went and hung out in Manhattan and I took him to a Knicks game and we had a blast. And we were catching the train here at the Port Chester train station and heading into the city. And an announcement came on about them changing the train, like which tracks it was on to go into the city. So we're on the New York City side, and it's windy and rainy, and I missed the announcement at first. And then the second time it came on, I was kind of confused. And, you know, I'm not a regular commuter like some of you, but I've lived here for 10 years and caught the train plenty enough times. And I have never caught the train into the city on the Connecticut side ever. And so I'm kind of confused, and I'm saying to Darren, I don't know if this is right. And then finally I heard him say it one more time. If you're going into Grand Central, the train is now on track 4. You got to switch sides. And I see people moving. I'm like, well, we got to go. Now, here's what I could have done when I heard that Metro North announcement. I could have said, well, that's your truth. But my truth is that this train is going into Grand Central. So I'm staying right here and I'm taking this train. And what would have happened? I would have missed the train going into the city, right? Maybe I want to get on the train going to some other destination. And here's what Jesus is saying. I am the way to the destination you long for. Follow me. And for some of us, that means we have to humble ourselves and get off the train we're on and get on the right train, heading in the right direction. We've got to make some changes. Got to make some changes. Jesus is saying, if you want to follow your way back home, your way back to the Father, follow me. Follow my teachings, my word, my truth. Trust in me. Worship me, and I will show you the way. You know, the earliest Christians, before they were known as Christians, they were known as followers of the way. And I think we're so used to Christianity being an organized religion that sometimes we forget that the essence of being a Christian is to be a follower of Jesus. It's not just being a church member. It's not just that you were baptized into the church or you made your confirmation or you went to Sunday school. I'm thankful for all of those things. Those things are wonderful. But the essence of being a follower of Jesus is to be a follower of Jesus. And here's how you know you're following Jesus: if he's leading your life. Not Jesus, come follow me and help me achieve all of my goals. If he is the goal, if he is the destination, if he is the way. Here's the second thing Jesus said. He said, I am the truth. He said, I am the way and I am the truth. Now, Jesus is saying, I am the embodiment of the truth of God. I am God's revelation to the world. The Apostle Paul put it this way in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. He said, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. In other words, he reveals God to us. Christ reveals God to us. See, God has revealed himself in Scripture. You can learn a lot about God from the whole Bible, from the Old Testament prophets. You can learn a lot about God from the universe and science. I don't pit science against religion. I believe we can study the wonders of science in the universe and discover things about God. You can learn a lot about God from the moral code that he's placed, the conscience that he's placed in all of humanity. But the greatest revelation that we have of God is the person of Jesus Christ. If you want to know what God is like, look no further than Jesus. The full revelation of God. The meaning and purpose of life is found in a relationship with Jesus. And you know, it's so fascinating because you and I, we live in the information age. We can Google anything. Isn't it amazing? Come on, some of you who grew up in the 80s and the 90s and you lived before Google like me, like we just take it for granted now, right? Like it's amazing. You can Google anything. Never in the history of human civilization have human beings had so much information at our fingertips, and yet never has it been so confusing and so difficult to know what the truth is. With the rise of information, we've had the rise of disinformation and misinformation and alternative facts. It's so hard to know what the truth is. And then there are times when we just feel overwhelmed and with anxiety by sorting through all the information. You ever try to Google something like a medical condition you're having and you get like 10,000 results, you know, everything from you need an Advil to you might die. Like I'm having a brain like hemorrhage right now, you know, like, no, you just need some Advil. You're having a headache, you know, and we're overwhelmed by it, you know, And you know, there's just so much disinformation out there. I don't know about you, but you know, you go on YouTube and you get interrupted by the little, you know, the announcements that come on and the video, the advertisements that come on. Like right now, I keep getting this guy who shows up with no shirt on. He's shredded. He's ripped, right? And he's eating pizza and donuts, you know? And he's telling you, you're doing everything wrong. Your problem is you're eating vegetables and you're exercising. What you need to do is take my supplements and you'll be shredded like me. And I'm like, that sounds amazing. Like, I want to do that. Maybe I've had it all wrong. I should be eating pizza and donuts and taking this dude's supplements and I can walk around with my shirt off all the time. Just wondering, is that true, you know? In the midst of our confusion, God humbly steps in and he pulls back the curtain and he reveals himself. And who better to show us the truth than the one who created the universe, the creator of the world? Jesus says, I am the truth. And notice that Jesus doesn't say, I say true things. He says, I am the truth. See, God could have shouted sermons from heaven. Instead, he wrapped truth in a person who could touch people, who could listen to people, who could heal people, who could love people, who could confront people, a person who we can encounter as we open the pages of Scripture. We can read about his life. We can read his words. We can pray to him. We can worship. We can experience his presence, the embodiment of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth. And number three, he said, I am the life. I am the life. In other words, satisfying life is found in me. A truly satisfying life is found in me. I love the way Jesus put it in John chapter 10, verse 10. We looked at this scripture a few weeks ago. He said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That's our spiritual enemy. That's the devil. But he said, I came so that they could have life and have it abundantly. How many of you like the sound of that? Yeah. Abundant life. I love the way the Message paraphrase puts John chapter 10, verse 10. It says it this way. I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. Oh, Jesus is saying, if you follow me, there's a rich and satisfying life. There's the life that you never even dreamed of you can find in me. Now, we have this phrase in our culture that I really like. When somebody is doing something that makes them happy, we say, oh, man, they're living their best life. How many of you say that? Like, you know, somebody's on vacation, they're in some tropical place on a beach, taking pictures of themselves on Instagram, looking all amazing, and you're like, oh, man, they're living their best life. Somebody's at a wedding celebration and they're in the middle of the party, busting out their best dance moves, putting it on their social media stories. And you're like, oh, they're living their best life. And I love this phrase because it conveys this idea that there's a better version of our lives to be lived. You know, like there's levels to this. And, you know, there are so many voices out there that are trying to tell you and me how to live our best life. Everywhere you go, what you need is this supplement. What you need is this dating app in your life. What you need to do is read this book. And you can read self-help books. You can practice positive psychology. You can look at yourself in the mirror every day and tell yourself good things about yourself. You can learn to practice meditation. I see advertisements for learning how to meditate on the subway. You can follow lifestyle experts, lifestyle gurus on Instagram. Do you see these people? Come on, you know who I'm talking about. They'll show you how to eat beautiful meals and wear beautiful clothes and travel to beautiful places. And you wonder, what's your beautiful job? Because I'd like to know what you're doing to be able to afford this. Like, do you have a job? Like, I'm over here working and you're on the beach in the Maldives like all the time. Like, what am I doing wrong? But you can follow these people. There's 1,000 voices out there. You can watch TED Talks and you can watch YouTube videos. There's 1,000 voices out there trying to tell you how to live your best life. And yet we're so often unfulfilled. And yet we so often find ourselves drifting through life, feeling empty, lacking purpose, dealing with anxiety and stress and depression. And people are addicted and marriages are broken. People broken in every direction. And we have no lack of voices of people trying to tell us how to live our best life. And Jesus just comes along and he says, I am the way. He just offers us a better way. You know, the world says, accumulate more possessions. Our culture says, just make more money and buy more things and you'll be happy. And Jesus says, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. He says, you're more blessed to give than to receive. And we enter into his way of generosity and we find peace. Our world conveys this idea that we have to earn people's love through attaining status. What the world says is work really hard, get a title, and people will respect you and look up to you and love you. And Jesus comes along and says this, while you were yet sinners, he gave his life for you. When you weren't even worth loving, he loved you when you least deserved it. He gave you unconditional love. Our world tells us to look out for yourself. Get even with people. Don't take flack off of anybody. You got to look out for yourself. And Jesus comes along and he says, pray for your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Turn the other cheek. And it's amazing the peace that we find in our lives when we live Jesus's way. Our world tells us, make yourself the center of your universe. Make it all about your happiness and your self-satisfaction. And Jesus says, greater love has no man than this, than to give his life for his friends. And he goes to the cross. And he shows us the most beautiful, powerful act of self-sacrificial love that humanity has ever seen, and it changes the world. And he invites us to follow his way. And see, all of those other things that our culture is preaching and that our culture celebrates, they're not giving us life. If we're honest, if we think about it, they're not giving us the abundant life that we truly seek after. Pastor Eugene Peterson, great author, great pastor, he said this, the Jesus way wedded to the Jesus truth brings about the Jesus life. You want to experience life and life more abundantly? Follow the way of Jesus. Embrace the truth of Jesus, and that will bring about the abundant life of Jesus. You want to live your best life? Seriously, how many of you want to live your best life? I would encourage you, give Jesus' way a chance. tune out a little bit less to all the gurus and all the voices and all the YouTubers out there. Just give his way a chance. And I'm not saying that all your problems are going to go away. I'm not saying that Jesus is going to make all of your dreams come true like a genie in the bottle. What I'm talking about is experiencing love and joy and peace and a deep abiding sense of God's presence in your life. Real and eternal life. More and better life than you ever dreamed of. A different quality of life. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And then he adds this in John 14:6. He says, no one comes to the Father except through me. And I know this sounds really exclusive, and this can make us really uncomfortable as modern day progressive people, because this is not what our modern ears want to hear. What we want to hear is that, what we want to believe is that everybody can just try really hard to be a good person. And if you're sincere and you don't hurt anybody, and you're a good person, you'll end up in the right place. And we don't really like narrow thinking. And most of us would say, well, Pastor Jimmy, I don't mind Jesus being one of the options, but Jesus has the only option? I don't know, that doesn't sit right with me. And let me just press pause for a moment and say, I get it. See, the problem is that many of us have believed the myth of our culture that freedom is found in an abundance of options. That freedom is found when we have an abundance of options. But can we just stop for a moment and be honest? An abundance of options actually doesn't bring us freedom. It actually makes us more overwhelmed. Think about, as I said before, just trying to find like health advice online, you know, like just Google coffee. Some people will tell you like coffee will kill you. You drink coffee and it causes cancer in lab rats. And then other people will say, just drink all the coffee you want. It's the greatest wonder drug ever. I know most of you are like, I'm in that camp, Pastor Jeremy. I'm of that opinion, you know? Have you ever been to the Cheesecake Factory and looked through that menu before? You know, it's like an encyclopedia. They come and drop it on the table, you know, and you start looking through it and you're overwhelmed. You're anxious. You can't pick anything because there's so many options, you know? It's like, just pick something. How can I possibly pick something out by the time the waiter comes? So many options. You ever go to watch something on Netflix and you spend an hour just trying to figure out what you want to watch? You've done that before, right? Because there's so many options. And we're laughing, but we're living in a culture where people are trying to Google and YouTube the most important questions of life, like, is there a God? Is there purpose in this life? Why am I suffering? And they're being bombarded by 10,000 options. And how many of you know, when you're desperate for answers, you don't want all the options, you just want the truth. You want the truth. And let me tell you something, truth, by its very nature, is exclusive. Truth by its nature is exclusive. Everybody's voice can't be equally true. If Jesus said, I am the Son of God, then Muhammad can't be the Son of God. Buddha can't be the Son of God. Every cult leader who steps up to start something can't be the Son of God. And our world would say, well, speak your truth as long as you're sincere. That's crazy. Hitler was sincere. He wrote a book called Mein Kampf, and he told the world what he was going to do. He sincerely believed that the German race was better than everybody else. You can be sincere and be sincerely materialistic. You can be sincerely racist. You can be sincerely vindictive. There are a lot of sincere people in this world doing crazy things who are dead wrong. Truth is truth. Relationships are exclusive. Can I remind you, at the center of Christianity is a relationship. Jesus is inviting us into a relationship. How many of you know relationships, the deeper they get, they become exclusive? You fall in love with somebody, you start getting serious with somebody, you start talking about marriage, you don't say, well, I'd like to, let's get married, but hey, let's also keep our options open, you know? Like, I'm committed to you, I wanna marry you, but I'd like to keep my options open on the side over here. It doesn't work that way. Relationships are exclusive. And we know that God's desire is not to leave people out by sending Christ, it's to bring people in. John 3:16 and verse 17, most famous verse in all the Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever, that sounds inclusive to me, believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That is God's heart. That's what was on his heart when he sent Jesus. Well, Pastor Jeremy, what's gonna happen to the remote natives living in some island who never hear the name of Jesus? Listen, if God is merciful enough to send his son to save you and me, God will find a way to save them. God will get a revelation to them. God is a gracious, loving God. I believe everybody who stands before God is gonna be responsible for the amount of revelation they have. But here's the point. Why waste our time going through all those scenarios when we already have the truth? No, I'm gonna point people to Jesus. I'm gonna preach Jesus. I'm gonna follow Jesus. We already have the revelation that we need, the way, the truth, and the life. When Jesus comes to us and says that he's all of those things, what he's saying to us is that when you find me, you find rest. You find rest for your weary soul. Like, you don't have to keep striving to try to figure it all out, sift through all of the voices. You can follow me. I can show you the way back to the Father. I can show you the way home. You don't have to find all the perfect religious combinations. Truth is embodied in me. Follow me. You are surrounded by people in this room who would say, when I found Jesus, I found my way back home. I just wonder how many of you would testify by lifting your hand today and would say, when I followed Jesus, when I placed my faith in Jesus, there was a sense of coming home. There was a sense that I wasn't lost anymore. The confusion went away. I had purpose. I had a sense that God was with me. His presence, his life invaded my life. That's what we're talking about today. And so can we just turn our hearts to him right now in this moment? Would you just bow your head in prayer with me as we go to him? Jesus, we thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, Father, we thank you that you have not left us in this world lost. You have not left us in this world in the darkness, but you have revealed yourself by sending your son, Jesus. And Jesus, we tune out all the other voices today. We tune into your voice. And we recommit ourselves to following you. Come on, some of you need to do that today. Jesus, I'm recommitting myself to follow you. God, I'm sorry for the distractions. God, I'm sorry for so many times turning to all these other things, running and chasing after all of these other things instead of following after you. All of these other things that have left me confused and unsatisfied when all along you were the way and the truth and the life. And Lord, I'm praying for the person in this place today who feels confused, who feels overwhelmed, who feels anxious, who needs peace, who feels loss, who needs a sense of home. And some of you right now, even as I'm praying, you'd say, Pastor Jeremy, that's you. Some of you watching online, some of you in this room, you'd say, Pastor Jeremy, that's me. I feel lost. I don't have a sense of home. I feel purposeless. I feel far away from God. And I want the very thing that you are describing. Something in my heart longs for that right now. And if that's you, we believe that that tug on your heart is the gentle tug of a loving God who is drawing you to his son by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is inviting you today, follow me. Follow me. And it starts with saying yes to Jesus. So if that's you, you can do that right now in this moment and just pray with me. Just say, Jesus, I give you my yes. I want to follow you. Pray this with me. I believe you are who you said you are, the way, the truth, and the life. I believe that you lived a sinless life on my behalf, that you went to the cross for my sin, and you were resurrected to give me new life. And I'm turning from my sin and placing my faith in you. I'm choosing to follow you today. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. Jesus, we thank you for showing us the way. I thank you for every person who prayed that prayer today. God, I thank you that scripture says there's a celebration in heaven when any lost person comes home. Lord, we thank you today. Come on, church, can we clap our hands? Can we thank God? There's a celebration in heaven when one lost person comes home. And we celebrate today.
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you'd like more information about our church, visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org or follow us on social media.